The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about calls from SIPTU, the trade union, for improved security in public transport. This after another incident people would have seen on Dublin bus, this time a passenger allegedly assaulted by a number of youths. And why I say you might have seen it is photographs kind of shared on social media is how I first saw it, and quite literally a blood-splattered interior of a bus. John Murphy is with me, SIPTU Transport Sector Organiser, and Suzanne Armstrong, who is a Dublin bus driver. You're both very welcome, and thanks a million for coming in to us. John, I'll come to you in just a moment, but Suzanne, can you give us just a sense of the scale of this problem, how often you're dealing with anything from kind of antisocial behaviour all the way up to kind of outright criminality on the bus?
I'd usually hear a story every day of some sort of antisocial behaviour. If it's not on my bus, on someone else's.
Really?
Yeah. It could be drug use. It could be verbal abuse. It could be a physical altercation. It could be racial abuse.
And when that happens on your bus, it probably depends on the nature of the incident as to your reaction. But incidents like this, kind of violent incidents where there is quite literally kind of blood left on the floor, what position does that leave you in?
Well, it's terrifying, but there is nothing we can do. We stay in our cab, we call control and they ring 999. But guard resources are tin on the ground, so by the time the guards get there, everyone involved is gone. But we could still be absolutely traumatised after witnessing something like this.
And that's the protocol, is it? Just for people, particularly for people listening to this outside Dublin who maybe aren't on Dublin bus that often, you're in the cab and you stay in the cab. That is the protocol. Do not get out.
Yeah, that's the protocol.
And are there times, maybe depending on what shift you're on or what routes you're on, that you're more nervous than others going into work? Or maybe given that maybe the times of the evening you're going to be working?
Yeah, it depends on the time. A lot of time rush hour is fine. It'd be other times of the day that you might have a problem.
Really?
Yeah.
So when it's a little bit quieter on the bus, maybe?
Yeah, well, rush hour, you have people going to and from work.
Okay.
To and from school. They just want to get on, go where they're going and get off.
Do you kind of, you've been driving the bus now for a number of years, do you have an almost a sixth sense about these things? Are there kind of situations in advance you know, oh, this is going to be hairy now?
Yeah, sometimes there are, and sometimes it can be completely out of the blue. And obviously when you're driving the bus, you're focused on where you're going, you're watching everything around you, you're not necessarily watching all your passengers at the back, you know, and anything can kick off.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's something we don't think of. We're aware of the cameras and everything and that you are visible, but you've got so much else on the road and road safety to be conscious of that you can't really be looking at what's happening kind of at the back of the top deck. I mentioned John Murphy is with us as well. John, how big a problem is this? Give us a sense of the scale of it.
Well, it seems to have increased, you know, significantly in the last couple of years. Maybe it's a carryover from lockdown. Maybe there was, you know, more antisocial behaviour because the city centre was quiet and the transport system was quiet. But back in February, SIPTU, due to increased reports from our members and our reps around the various, not just the buses, the trams, the trains, we decided it was time to have a survey because we've been campaigning long number of years, decades now, for increased security on public transport. And it seems to ebb and flow and it dies down. But we did, we conducted a survey of members and we got a significant response. And, you know, as Suzanne said, one of the frightening things was one in five of our members said they experienced it on a daily basis. And over 30% said it was a weekly occurrence in their workplace. Which was...
That's huge. 20% say a daily.
21% of those that responded said it was a daily occurrence, antisocial behaviour. Now, that could range from as little as being somebody abusive on a bus to stone throwing to physical altercations to racial to drug abuse to drug taking, drug dealing. So we done a second survey then and we sort of drilled down into it and it showed significant increases in minority communities being abused, as in racial and various ethnic abuse, but also drug taking and drug dealing seems to be more common across all public transport. So on that basis, you know, we have launched a campaign and in fairness, we've got a lot of support from all political parties. We're seeking three issues. We're looking for a dedicated policing unit for public transport across all modes that's centrally controlled, because at the moment there is private security on the trains and on the trams. There's no linked up thinking. there's nobody controlling, you know, and people that are, you know, causing antisocial behaviour can get off one tram onto a train or onto a bus. And it's just saying there's no deterrent there to stop this.
Yeah.
We're also calling for a charter for public transport to highlight to people, passengers and people that are undertaking this type of behaviour, what's acceptable, what's unacceptable, and what the consequences of operating like this is, and you know, the reduction in service, reduced services, you know, prosecutions where they're, you know, called for. And the third thing is we're looking for the department and the National Transport Authority to set up a forum that we can...
Yeah.
Look at transport, because in fairness there's been significant investment now and going forward in public transport. They want people to utilise and move away from private transport, so for that people have to believe they're going to be safe and secure.
And how would you imagine it working, that kind of transport police, if we call it that? Because, you know, what the guards often say is at the moment, you know, if there's an incident on a bus or a Lewis or a train or whatever it happens to be, you know, we will as much as we can endeavour to be there at the next stop to kind of deal with it. Yeah. And if there was a dedicated transport, it would be no different. So why do
it? Yeah, well, look, there's a couple of strands to that answer. We all know that the police don't have the resources. They're not going to be on every bus, every tram, every platform across it.
That's, yeah, that's, I was looking possible. At it. Dublin Bus have about 1,000 buses, but they're in 1,200. Yeah. Then you've got hundreds of carriages on kind of darts and Irish Rail, Lewis's have several trams. So, yeah, you're quite right.
Yeah, and in fairness to the police, you know, when they are contacted, you know, they're not going to be on the scene of the incident immediately. They do react, and particularly to the serious incidents. But we believe that if there's a central, like, you can look at examples across Europe. There's transport police in the UK and in mainland Europe. You look at the airports, there's an airport police service there that has powers of detention, arrest and prosecution. You know, if they... if there's antisocial behaviour in the airports, they can detain people and they can bring them to the Gardaí for further prosecution and arrest if it's warranted, you know. So we do believe that there needs to be a deterrent. It's not going to stop everything. It's not going to solve, you know, it's a society problem. But at least if there's a deterrent there and people are saying, well, you know, if I conduct myself in that manner, there may be a consequence to the actions. That's what we need to do. And we need to educate people as well. Because we've seen services pulled out of different areas and people are dependent on these services.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had it there about 18 months ago in West Tala. After 6 p.m. the evening, services were pulled from you know, housing estates because of the, you know, constant antisocial behaviour. And the local activists, and you're trying to educate people, you know, particularly children that may be involved in stone throwing and things like that, that the consequence of this is your mother, your father, your granny, your sister, they can't get a bus and they're walking, you know, they're always late at night to try and get home. So, you know, if you can educate people as well, the consequences of this type of behaviour, you know, that would be a big help.
Suzanne, what would make you feel safer going into work on a daily basis?
Transport, please.
Yeah.
Because I think for the driver safety and for passenger safety, there needs to be something done. Like that poor woman that was left, you saw the scenes and the blood splattered everywhere. There was nowhere for her to go. That's petrifying for a man or a woman. That is absolutely petrifying to witness that attack and then to be left sitting there surrounded by all that blood. And if you're transport police, there's no way that would have happened.
Yeah. But again, and to pick up on John's point, I guess, you're not going to have them on every bus and tram and train in the country. So how do you imagine it working? Is it that more often you'd see them at stops? They might position themselves in those places. So they're just kind of, there's a sense that there's more of a presence. Is that it?
Yeah, I think if there was some sort of visibility of them, it would make a huge difference. I've noticed even myself, if a guard happens to get on the bus, there's no carry-on.
Yeah.
You know, none. And that could be even a plainclothes guard getting on. If he flashes the badge and people happen to notice he flashes it getting on, there's no messing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So they flash the badge coming on the bus,
you know,
and then suddenly everyone is on best behaviour.
They're on their best behaviour. And I just think, like, for driver safety, for passenger safety, and this is across all public transport, there needs to be something.
But we have seen it, like, if you remember back to the night of the Dublin riots on the 23rd of November, in the immediate aftermath, there was more Gardaí on the streets around the city centre.
Yeah.
And people did feel more comfortable, you know, whether they were working on transport, whether they were just, you know, shoppers or you know, people going about their daily business. The fact that the visibility was there does send a good signal to people that just want to, you know, get transported from home to work or school or whatever, or to the hospital for the appointment. It is a safety net for people. So, you know, again, we know the Gardaí can't be everywhere. The resources are stretched presently, But at least if there was something there that people were saying is visible and they know that there's going to be prosecutions and, you know, to the full extent of the law for people that undertake this type of behaviour, it will act as a deterrent. Not going to solve everything, but at least it might give some solace to, you know, workers and passengers to say, well, I feel a bit safer now. I will use public transport. I'll stay away from the private car and the benefits of that then for the society and, you know, environment, congestion and business is, you know, is something, you know, so there needs to be investment from people that are planning transport.
Well, listen, whether it's a transport police or something else, something needs to be done anyway in terms of changing the narrative. And often businesses talk about this in the context of just antisocial behaviour more broadly in Dublin city centre that, you know, if it's the thing that gets talked about, you know, people have this perception, then it's not safe and they won't come into town. As you say, people have a perception, then maybe the bus isn't safe and they won't get it when we're encouraging people to do it. And also, Suzanne, I mean, Dublin Buses not that long ago had a recruitment campaign, harder to kind of convince people to do the job when there's images like this kind of doing the rounds, isn't it?
It is, it is. And I mean, it can be very off-putting to people. Look, I do like my job, so I'm not going to sit here and say I don't. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't be in it. But I would like to feel safer.
And that transport police is what would make you feel safer.
Yeah, if there was some sort of visibility there. And if I knew there was a deterrent for people, or that if people were going to be prosecuted. Definitely. When like, you're trying to bring women in, and I know this will affect men, like, obviously as well, but they're trying to recruit more women, and it has to be off-putting.
Yeah.
You know?
Would you even hear that kind of anecdotally now amongst, I don't know, friends, family, peer group or anything, that there's a sense of like, oh, that job might be a bit dodgy,
actually. Are you sure that's what you want to do?
Yeah.
What happens to you when you go in now? Do you have any of these incidents? And, you know, sometimes my mom's actually a bus driver, but with other people, I'd be like, no, it's fine because I don't want them worrying.
Yeah.
And then you see these stories. But
would you worry about your mom now driving the bus?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. John, look, I mentioned antisocial behaviour in the city, and we probably should acknowledge that as well. And this is kind of a broader point and not necessarily the purview of kind of the transport sector organiser in SIPTU, but that there's a kind of an overlap here, isn't there, as well?
There is.
There's kind of increasing drug taking and antisocial behaviour and all of that. If it's happening on the street outside, it's also more likely to happen on the bus.
It is, yeah. Look, it is a societal issue, and it does, because public transport is so wide, varied, it's reaching every corner of the city and every, you know, street, road or whatever. So it is going to, you know, impact on that. And if it's only, you know, whatever, gangs of youths robbing people, jumping onto a tram, jumping onto a bus to make their way out, or going on to perpetrate antisocial behaviour. It is, you know, it's not just a public transport issue. But as I said, the main reason why we are really strongly pushing this now on SIPTU's campaign is because of the increases and because of the massive investment that is being undertaken to encourage people to get onto public transport. We believe for that to be fully materialise in passenger numbers, they have to feel safe.
John Murphy, SIPTU Transport Sector Organiser, and Suzanne Armstrong, Dublin bus driver. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.